We live in a culture today that seems to be inundated with warnings. Why is it when we look at the soda bottle and all the sugar that it's in it, and we're told that what this sugar is going to do to our bodies if we keep drinking it, why do we keep drinking it? Why do we pick up a pack of cigarettes that warn us of the dangers of smoking, but yet we keep on smoking? Why is it that we pick up a bottle of alcohol or a can of alcohol and read about the dangers or hear about the dangers in media, but yet we keep on drinking it? Why is it that we don't heed the warnings and all these things in life? And the only explanation is because we think it'll never happen to us. We think it does not pertain to us, that somehow we're going to slide through unscathed and be unaffected by these things that we're warned about. Well, it is the same way in our spiritual journey in life. One of the great things about the Bible is the Bible warns us. There's many warnings all throughout the Bible. That's one of the great things about God. We know God is a God of love, but yet God warns us about certain things in life that just simply are not good for us and going to lead in the wrong path and eventually sweep us away. We remember from our study in 1 Samuel, the last time we talked, that Israel was in a very dark period in their history. The priesthood had become corrupt. The nation had turned to other gods and practices. And now at this point, they desired a king. They wanted a king. They were led by judges up to this point who were the men that were in touch with God. And God spoke to them. And then they relayed that message to the people to direct the people in the way they should go. Here comes Samuel along now as the last judge of Israel. God brought Samuel on the scene through a lady by the name of Hannah that we remember was barren, prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sent Samuel. Through Samuel being this man of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the priesthood was cleansed, the nation repented, and they were recommitted to God. God gave them a king in Saul. He warned them, this isn't the best thing for you. This man could take advantage of you. He could do all that he's going to do for his own glory and not for your good. And God basically warned them that having a king was really not the best for them. But nonetheless, he granted their wish and gave them a king, Saul. He gave them signs that Saul was truly the man. And God was behind Saul because they enjoyed victory over their enemies. And as a result, Saul gave glory to God. He was humble. If you remember, there were people that were not happy that Saul was the king. They said, well, who's this guy? And when the nation had victory over their enemies, the people wanted to put those, the people of Israel wanted to put those people that doubted Saul to death. And Saul said, no, nobody's going to be put to death today. This is the day the Lord has rescued Israel. We're going to celebrate and we're going to rejoice in the God who's rescued us. So things were going well for Israel. They were going really good. You see, and what happens when things are going well in life? We're going along, you know, we're in those down times when things are not going well. We're struggling physically, spiritually, financially, whatever. And we're praying to God, and we're praying to God, and we're praying to God. And all of a sudden, things are on the upswing. Things are going well. What happens usually? We start to forget about God, don't we? We start to kind of put God on the back burner. Maybe we were going to church every single Sunday for a while. Now all of a sudden, well, oh, it's springtime. You know, I got some other things I got to do. God understands. Or maybe something else we've been doing. Maybe we've started reading our Bible and things are going well. And all of a sudden, well, I can't today. I'm busy today. I got this going on, you know. And we start backing away in that relationship with God. God is a God of covenant. If you know anything about the covenant God makes with his people, when God makes a promise to his people, he enters into a contract with them, a divine spiritual contract, and invites people to be part of that contract that's called a covenant. And this covenant that God has with his people, you see, is that he will always guide them and provide for them and protect them. But we learn two things in the Bible about the conditions of a covenant with God. First of all, God never breaks his part. In the covenant, God never breaks his part, and he never will, because that's not who God is. See, He never breaks his part. Secondly, we learn the importance of staying committed to God in that covenant through what happens to our brothers and sisters in the family thousands of years ago. We say, what's that having to do with us today? We're dealing with the same God today, and we're dealing with the same conditions today, and we see what happens when we don't stay committed to God. There are consequences, God warns us about, of being lax in our commitment to God and being lax in commitment to the covenant that we have with God. And this is what was going on in the nation from time to time. And Samuel comes on the scene and he brings the people back into focus, committed to God, because it's so important to get back into that relationship with God. And Samuel's now old and he's getting ready to step down, and he wants to leave with a clear conscience, and he wants to remind the people, I've done nothing wrong or out of selfish motive here. I've done what God has given me to do and what's been best for the people. Is that not true? And the people said, that's true. You've been a good leader. You've been honest. You've been a man of integrity. You've not taken advantage of us. God is our witness, or God is witness to this. So Samuel now, speaking to the people as he's transitioning in life and the nation's transitioning, he speaks to them. Three things that he says to them: be reminded, be warned, and be committed. You see, and he uses the witnesses of God and God's working here as he speaks to them, because that's what the Bible is. It's God's witness to us. First of all, he says to them in the witness of history, it's the Lord himself who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. So stand here, because I'm going to confront you with the evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and for your fathers. I'm going to confront you with it. I met with the District Committee on Ordained Ministry a few years ago, and we were talking about leading congregations, and I said to them that I felt the importance of confronting the people about their faith. And they didn't like that word. They thought that word was a little bit offensive. And they thought that that word was just simply not a good thing. But the Bible shows us that God's called leaders confronted the people. And it's important to confront people with their faith and confront them with what the Lord has done in the past with in their lives, because it helps us to refocus on the goodness of God and helps us to move forward. One of the hardest things in being a minister is to stand behind the pulpit and confront people with their faith. They don't like that. They're challenged. They're uncomfortable. Who are you to tell me where I should be, what I should be doing? This is between God and I, and it is. But unless we're confronted with these things about our faith journey with God, we're never going to move forward. We're going to stay in the same place and become stagnant. We know what happens to stagnant water. It starts to stink, doesn't it? And starts to scum over. So Samuel reminds them by the witness of history. He confronts them that it was God who appointed the leaders and led them out of Egypt. Jacob entered Egypt. They cried to the Lord for help. The Lord sent Moses and Aaron and brought the forefathers out of Egypt and settled them in the place that they were in. But they forgot the Lord, he says. He forgot the Lord their God, so the Lord sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines. Be reminded of the consequence of what happened when they turned from the Lord. The Lord saved them, and they turned from the Lord then. Later on, they forgot the Lord, and he sold them into the hand of Sisera. They cried after the Lord and said, we've sinned. We've forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. The Ashtoreths were the female versions of the pagan gods, equivalent to Baal, by the way. But now, they said, deliver us from the hands of our enemies and we'll serve you. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and he delivered them in the hands of their enemies on every side so that they lived securely. You see this up and down journey that God's people are always on, and we're on it too. We are on the upswing, and then we're on the downswing. We're on the upswing, and we're the downswing. We get up there on top, and it's easy to forget the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, all right, you want to forget me, you're on your own. And he lets us go for a while. We find ourselves in very consequential situations. You see, well, he gave them security, but when they saw Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, was moving against them, they said, no, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. We want a king to rule over us. Now this kind of doesn't make sense in a way, but in a way it does. God was giving them security and was rescuing them, and they're saying, well, we want a human king. We want an earthly king, even though the Lord was truly their king. We want an earthly king. So Samuel says, now here's your king that you've chosen, the one you've asked for, the one that the Lord has set as king over you. But if you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you as it was against your fathers. Samuel's saying, be reminded. Remember what the Lord did for you in the past? And when the people turned away from the Lord, remember what happened to them, the consequences? Now he's warning them. He's saying the same thing. You wanted a king, God gave you a king, but I want to warn you. You need to stay committed to God, and so does your king, because if you don't, his hand's going to be against you. You say, oh my gosh, but he's a God of love. How could his hand be against us? He's a God of love. And the Israelites felt that way. They felt, well, we're his chosen people. He's not going to let anything bad happen to us. Then when something bad happens, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, we can't understand it. Why God's allowing it? Why is God allowing this to happen? I don't know why God's allowing this to happen to me. You ever know anybody like that? I can't figure it out. Why God allowed this to happen in my life. And they say, Pastor, do you know what's going on? Why would God do this to me? And I say, God's not doing anything to you. God's doing everything for you. And maybe we need to sit down here and understand what God is warning you about, or what God's really trying to say in all this. Because in those down times, as well as in the up times, we have to stay committed consistently and faithfully to the Lord. We can't get mad at him when we're down. That's the worst thing we could do. And oftentimes when people are in those situations, what do? They turn from the Lord. They give up on him. They quit coming to church. They quit praying to the Lord. They quit reading his word because they don't believe he exists. And that's the worst thing they can do. They should become more committed in those times and dig in a little deeper. Because faith honors God and God honors faith. We have to remember we have a covenant with God. God has a covenant with us, you see. And he never breaks his part of a covenant. So Samuel's warning them. Revere God, you and your king. If you don't, there's going to be consequences. And he says, well, now, he said, stand still, everybody, and see this great thing the Lord's about to do before your eyes. Because oftentimes the people ignore the warnings. And I get people that'll come to me after I've preached about something like the Lord warning us or something that the Lord's going to do in our lives if we don't obey the Lord. And they wrestle with that and they disagree with that. And I say, well, read your Bible. Read your Bible. God does this for a good reason. You see. And Samuel says, just so you understand, this is not me, Samuel, speaking. Watch what the Lord's going to do. And in a witness of God's power, he says, is it not the harvest season? Now, that's generally from May to July. It's the wheat harvest. I'll call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you'll realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. In other words, Samuel says, watch, I'm going to show you God's confirmation that asking for a king was not a good thing, and that there's always consequences when we disobey the Lord. Now, generally during this time period, it didn't rain in Israel. It was dry during those months. Secondly, I don't know a lot about harvesting wheat, but I know when wheat gets really high and is ready to harvest, one of the worst things you can get is a bad wind and rain. Am I right? I see some head shaking, yeah. So this would have not been a good thing for the people, destroying the wheat harvest for them. But what's happening, Samuel's trying to show them there are consequences when we turn away from the Lord, and we have to stay committed to the Lord or his hand is going to be against us. So Samuel called on the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that same day. And the people stood in awe of the Lord and Samuel. So they asked Samuel, pray to the Lord, your God, for your servants. Samuel says, now calm down. Don't be afraid. You've done all this evil, yet don't turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, and they can't rescue you. They're useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. There's deep theology in those statements, by the way. He's saying, first of all, don't turn away from the Lord. Even though you've done evil, now's the time to rededicate yourself and recommit yourself to the Lord and stay committed to the Lord, even though you've done those evils, because you're the Lord's people. He chose you. And he's not going to turn away from you. He's not going to reject you. He might put his hand out. His hand might be against you, but he's not going to reject you because his covenant said so. You see, and he's not going to break his covenant. They were his people. They have special protection. And so do we as Christians, being grafted in, as the Bible teaches us, as God's chosen people, because the Lord made us his own. And because of his, for the sake of his great name, he's not going to disgrace the covenant or his promise in the covenant. Samuel says, he says to everybody, just relax. Just relax. Yes, you've done evil in the sight of the Lord. You disobeyed him. You went against his will. There's always consequences when you do. But you need to stay committed to the Lord, because you're his covenant people. And he'll protect you if you do. So what Samuel's doing here, he is reminding them of God's grace in the past. The people turned from God. They cried out to God. God saved them. Then they turned from God again. They get into a mess. They cried out to God. God saved them again. That seems to be our cycle, doesn't it? I'm really thankful that it is that way. Because if we sinned against God and God says, I don't want to have anything more to do with you, you're done. I gave you a choice. I gave you a chance. You blew it. You're done. See ya. That's not grace. That's not grace. And that's not biblical. And that's not the doctrine of eternal security. Jesus says, I know my sheep know my voice. They're mine. No one can take them from me. My Father and I are the same. Because we have a covenant with Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus Christ, that no one's going to take us from his arms. Though he may be disheartened with us and disappointed with us, and though he may discipline us at times, we are still his covenant people, and we need to stay committed to him, because only by staying committed to him will we be secure and safe and forgiven. So he reminds them of God's grace in the past. He warns them of God's justice. I think people get so wrapped up in God's grace and his love, they forget about God's justice. And when God exercises his justice, they get mad at God, or they get disheartened, or they get confused. I don't understand. God's a God of love. Why would he do this? Because God's also a God of justice. And where there's rules, where there's statutes, where there's commands, he says, if you break them, there's going to be consequences. You see. And thirdly, he reminds them to be committed. He says, be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. That's to revere the Lord, not be afraid of him, to revere the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he's done for you. Consider what great things he's done for you. Again, sometimes we just need to stop for a moment and take a big, deep breath and think about the love of God in our lives, all through our lives. You know, way back when that thing happened, or that other time when you said something to somebody, or when this situation came into your life and you didn't know what to do. And like the girls in college said, this is the worst. And you thought it was the worst thing ever and you were going to die. And God said, no, you're not. The worst thing could be if you went to hell. And I'm not going to let you go there. I'm the God of grace, and I'm going to save you. Stay committed to me and trust me. I think of the sheep on the path. You know, the path is not always smooth. Sometimes it's lined with briars. Sometimes there are wolves hiding in the brush. But Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Let me see. And he says to them, serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he's done for you. Yet he says, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king are going to be swept away. If you persist in doing evil, you and your king are going to be swept away. I thought about what that really means and thought about some other scriptures. And I thought how 200 years later, as Isaiah was speaking to the people before they went into captivity, again, they had turned away from the Lord. They had worshiped other idols. You see, and they were about to go into captivity for 70 years as a consequence. Isaiah warned Judah not to do that, and he spoke to them, and he said, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Like the wind, our sins sweep us away, you see. But unless we turn to the Lord, you see, no one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. Yet, O Father, you're our Father. We're the clay. You're the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Don't be angry beyond measure. Do not remember our sins forever. Look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. You see, as Isaiah prophesied to the people, to stay focused on the Lord and stay committed to the Lord. Like the wind, our sins sweep us away. I thought last week here when the wind was blowing so hard, we've seen what the wind's been doing in the valley, busting down trees, drying the ground out, scattering garbage all over the place. And I thought about how that's so like our sins, how our sins just wreak havoc in our lives and scatter garbage all over in our everyday lives and break us. You see, but David reminds us, good and upright is the Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Let's say that together. Good and upright is the Lord. When I read this, this really struck me. Therefore, because he's good, he instructs sinners in his ways. Why does it make sense? Why would he instruct the sinners? Wouldn't he instruct the righteous? No, because the sinners need the instruction. And if God really wasn't good, he wouldn't care about the sinners. He cares so much about the sinners. He instructs them in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. And for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it's great. Though it's great. Who's the man that fears the Lord or reveres the Lord? The Lord will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He'll spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. Gosh, that's awesome. The Lord confides in those who revere him. He confides in them. Our God, Jehovah, Yahweh confides in those who revere him. He makes his covenant known to them. Thank you, God, that you do. Therefore, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. This is David, a man after God's own heart, a man who was murdered, a man who committed adultery, a man who was sought after by his family, by King Saul, eventually trying to kill him. But the key here is that David stayed committed to the Lord. He knew that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, that's confidence in our Lord. That's staying committed to our God. And it's important today, amidst all the gods out there and the idols out there that we worship, you know, sports on Sunday morning, the bars on Saturday evening, the almighty dollar that we worship, all those things, despite all those things, which Samuel says are useless. They're useless. We're to stay committed to the Lord. and be reminded of God's grace in the past, warned of God's justice, and committed to God at all times. For the nation of Israel, for us today, the benefit of staying committed. Let's pray.